This Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Can somebody remind me what the word Advent means? Coming, right. And we are celebrating the first coming with the vision to the second coming. The second makes the first all the more enjoyable, right? All the more purposeful. This is our first Sunday in Advent, which is the Sunday where we highlight the role of the prophets. So this morning, reading Isaiah 53, which is the gospel according to Isaiah. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Today, we light the candle of the prophets, reminding us that Jesus is the fulfillment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the remembrance. We thank you for the time that we come to remember that your story was consistent through history. You had a plan. And Lord, today we celebrate the fact that hundreds of years before Jesus ever set foot on the face of the planet, you had it planned. And you had it planned so well that you knew exactly what he was going to do when he came. Thank you, Father God, that he did. And that we are now different and transformed because your Spirit lives in us. And we celebrate the contribution of the prophets today as we look at the first coming of Jesus with the view that he's coming back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Many of you are listening to Christmas carols on a regular basis. Act fast, because it'll be over just like that. We're going to talk about that today. Reiterate what Dane said about live nativity. Week from Tuesday night, Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8:30, we'll be here. You come, we'll plug in somewhere. We need you, need all hands on deck. I mean, we've had as many as 600-700 people come through here on a night. So we need all kinds of help, and we get this opportunity. this will be the gospel to a lot of people. This will be the only thing they go to. It'll be the only thing they see where they can see the simple thing, the simple scene of the good news, the birth of the Christ child. And just stand there and look. And that physical representation, it is powerful, especially with children. Especially that visual thing. So, need you. The 24th, Christmas Eve, we'll have our regular service here. And then that evening, we'll be out in Georgetown on the property out there. 6 o'clock for our Candles, Carols, Communion. If it's inclement in some way, unless it's snowing, we don't call snow inclement. If it's snowing, we're still going to have it out there. But every other kind of bad weather, you consider bad weather, we'll come back here, but we'll let you know via email and Facebook. By the way, we'll be filming a little spot for the live nativity day. It's going to be posted on Facebook later on. Please share it, okay? Please do that. I stalk all of y'all anyway on Facebook. I know things about y'all. I mean, some of you are just stupid things you put on there. I mean, you shouldn't admit to some of the stuff you do. And some of you are laughing right now because hit dog hollers. Okay, John, I'm going to put our title for our new series is What If This Christmas? What If? And title of today's message, What If You Just Decided to Engage This Christmas? What if you got involved? And hear this story from my past. It was 1962. My cousin Lou, who is a year and a month younger than me, he's also a pastor up in Virginia. We'd gone over to our grandparents' house on 60th Street, like we usually did on the weekend. And it was one of those weekends we were out of school leading up to Christmas. They didn't know not to give us sugar and red-laced drinks back then. And so we were sugared up. We had everything. I mean, we were wired. In addition to that, we had a Sears Roebuck Christmas catalog. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. When that thing came in the mail, That was better than lighting the Advent candles at church. You knew Christmas was on the way because that sucker was there. And your Bible, you may be able to divide the pages, but every page of that catalog, I mean, it was well-worn and marked. Just in case somebody happened to look at it and think, oh, I need some ideas. Well, it was a cold day, and there weren't many in Savannah back then. Our grandparents, in the front part of their house, they had an old fireplace that they had put a gas stove in front of, one of those space heaters, and vented it out the flue of the fireplace. It was right down on the floor. The day before, we arrived on Friday. Friday afternoon, when we got there, they had a delivery from the furniture store. They got a brand new dinette suit. I remember. It was yellow formica. You know, the top of the table, it had the leaf you take out. And it had those plastic Naugahyde chairs. You know what I'm talking about? Little pad on the back, pad on the bottom. I mean, all this retro stuff they're getting out now. You got a picture. So, those chairs were there. Saturday morning, we get up early before everybody else. We drag a couple of those chairs in there, and we back them up so we could stay warm next to the fire, next to the gas heater. We're flipping pages. Yeah, man, I want that. Yeah, I want that. I don't know what we were thinking, you know. But it was fun to do anyway. And we were back and forth. And then we looked at each other and we said, "You smell something burning?" And sure enough, Something was burning and it was us. We turned around and the whole backs of those two brand new, they hadn't been in the house. They'd been there about 12 hours. They had melted down. And all you could see was the cheap cardboard that was in between on the backside of it. I called my cousin this morning on his way to worship service just to check to make sure on the date. But I knew he'd remember the exact date. From that day on, and I quote him, he said, "Those two chairs became a monument to our stupidity and our excitement." You might think that our grandparents would have just had us for lunch. But to their credit, and thank God how much they loved us, I think they eventually learned to laugh over it, though it challenged them. A lot of what you think about when you think about Christmas is hope. Hope. You see, my cousin and I, we were sitting there, we were hoping. We were hoping come Christmas that someone would look at that thing, man, and they'd back the truck up at our house. But what happens to that hope on the 26th and in January? First point this morning. The problem with Christmas is that it ends abruptly. 98.7 starts playing Christmas music almost. They waited till 2 weeks into November, but they usually start playing it the first week of November. Home Depot puts their Christmas stuff out before Halloween. It's already out there. Back to 98.7. At midnight on the 25th, guess what happens? It's gone. It's gone. When I was growing up, one of the things that I really dreaded was when New Year's Day came and I had to go back to school. Anybody? Oh, man. I felt like, and I looked at my teacher and she didn't want to be there either. Especially looking at us thinking, man, and at least I had them drugged before Christmas. They were sugared up and could act like they were excited about school. But now, don't you wish you could extend it? That hope, that excitement, that it factor. Second thing. You see, the promise of Christmas is hope. Now, I want to read a passage to you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, electronically or paper, to the 9th chapter of Isaiah. I purposely didn't put this on the overhead. Here's a story that I want you to see as a setup for today. Beginning in verse 1. "But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea, on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." And then this part of the passage that we're well familiar with. "The people in walkness, who walk in darkness, will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Let me stop right there. So far. Now, what do we usually associate this passage of Scripture with? The first coming of Jesus, right? But already, we've got several parts of this that really didn't happen at the first coming of Jesus. Verse 4, "For you will break the, the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor as at the battle of Midian." Now, did he do that yet? He did that spiritually. But has that been done for the people of Israel physically yet? No, it hasn't. "For
every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and the cloak rolled in blood will be burning, fuel for the fire. And then this passage, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Who's he talking about? Messiah, Jesus. And the government will rest on his shoulders. We'll get to that in just a second. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How many of you have listened to Handel's Messiah so far this year? How many of you like to do that every year? I encourage you. I try to listen to it 3 or 4 times. My opinion is the greatest piece of music that's ever been written. And I don't consider myself any judge of music, but it inspires me. Because all he did was take the Word of God and put it to music. There'll be no end to the increase of his government, verse 7. This his government or his peace, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom. To establish it, uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So, if the promise of Christmas is hope, we've got a lot to hope for, right? There's a lot to hope for as the prophets. We lighted today the prophet's candle to remind us of all those prophecies. Man, over 600 of those literal prophecies that came true with the first coming of Jesus. Now, Rick read to you Isaiah 53, and I don't know if you caught what he called it. Anybody remember what he called it? The gospel according to Isaiah. Because there it is, the gospel message. It does everything but say his name, Yeshua. There it is. This hope, though, think of those prophets and what was in their hearts and the history of things coming down to the first coming of Jesus. They were expecting, the people were expecting a Messiah, right? Everybody knew about Messiah, right? They knew these Jewish, all these Jewish girls, what would they dream of? That they would be the mother of Messiah. By the way, the name Jesus is, or the Christ, that whole concept is just a Hellenized version of Yeshua, his Hebrew name. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That happened when he came the first time. And we celebrate that. We celebrate that today as we look back and we see what God did. He sent His unique one and only Son to be our Savior, who died on a cross in our place. That which was prophesied, Isaiah 53 that Rick read earlier, says it perfectly. So the promise of Christmas and our celebration of the first coming of Jesus is hope. Third thing, the potential of Christmas is that it is act one of a two-act play. What do I mean by that? If you got a play and you only see part of it, hey, man, I want to see the rest of it. There's anticipation about it. So the second part of that Isaiah passage, the B part, and the government will rest on his shoulders. Now let me ask you, let's just get personal here for a minute. Did the government rest on Jesus' shoulders while he was here on this earth? In any way, shape, form, fashion, did that happen? Did it physically happen in any way? What did the political system do with Jesus? He came to his own and his own rejected him. They rejected him as the Son of God. We see He died on the cross in our place. Where is His kingdom today? Careful now. Careful. Where is His kingdom? Where did He set up His kingdom? He died on the cross. He arose on the third day. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And He says to everyone who come to Him in faith and trust that He will come into your... So where is His kingdom? The kingdom is where the King is. The King's in me. The King's in you. If you've received Him. Do you see that? That's the first part. That's the first part of the play. But the second part of this two-act drama hadn't taken place yet. Ah! What did we say? What was that last phrase that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 11 when he's teaching on the Lord's Supper? And we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And we say comes again. The second part of that two-act play. He's coming again. He's coming again. So the potential of Christmas is that this second part is on the way. Just like Lou and I, my cousin, fanning through that catalog, the anticipation. I mean, we got excited when Mom said, you know, we need to get a Christmas tree. Let's load up right now. Let's get to the store right now. But think of this. We've already had proven for us the prophecies lined out in the Scripture over and over and over again, fulfilled in detail, every detail of the first coming. Every detail. Nothing left out. I mean, down to he's going, you know, where he's going to be buried, you know, the people that are going to be around and what's going to happen to him, everything. Detail. So let me ask you. So how do you think we need to treat the prophecies about His second coming? How much of that is He going to fulfill? What kind of detail is it going to be fulfilled in? You see, the second part there, the government will rest on His shoulder. Listen, that ain't going to happen until He comes again. He sets up His kingdom on this earth. He's going to show us physically on this earth how it was supposed to happen. Those references to a kingdom on this earth, hey, they're not spiritualized versions of heaven. That is the reality. That is the physical reality. He's going to come and set up His kingdom on this earth. Terra firma. Just like the prophet said, He was coming physically. Did He come physically the first time? Born of a virgin. The miraculous thing took place. So, here's my little sermonette to the Christianettes. What if? What if? What if you could extend this kind of hope to the new year and every day could be Christmas? Is that possible? Is that possible to live in anticipation and hope that the power of God would be revealed like that? Let me tell you, one day this week, I can't go into all the details up, but I saw God do miraculous things. Bang, 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 bang. I can't give all the details of that in a public forum, but just trust me. They were miraculous things. And God put them together. And then the next morning, I'm driving, and I'm praying, and all of a sudden the Lord just breaks into what I'm saying. And He says, what's the commonality of everything that happened yesterday? Let's count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four things happened in a row the day before. I had that question. So I had to consider it as I was listening to His voice. What's the commonality, Dusty? Here's the commonality. I had nothing to do with making any of those four things happen. They were all... Why do we give gifts at Christmas?
Because the Magi, they came and gave. Well, yeah, that's part of it. But the main, what's gift giving about? It's about the gift of the Son of God. God didn't hold back anything, even His unique one Son. He gave it all. So what if you could extend that kind of hope into the new year? Secondly, what if you could put in the rearview mirror the garbage you've let your life become? Listen, don't look at me with those sanctimonious looks and say, oh, no, not me, you're talking about somebody, you're looking at somebody else. It's kind of like in Greek class in seminary when Clyde Glazner, Dr. Glazner looked at me and he said, come on up to the board and write. Oh, I hated that because he was going to make fun of you and he was going to show your ignorance and everything. I mean, a great learning tool. If everybody teaches you to be prepared when you come to class. And I'm looking around, you know, like he's looking through me at somebody else, like he had X-ray vision like Superman. And he said, no, Dusty, son, this is a class of 50. He knew my name. No, you, come on up here. So I got that privilege. Let me tell you, God isn't looking through you right now. He's looking at you. I can't bring conviction to your heart. I can't make you believe in anything. All I can be is the instrument of God. And as I say to you, I pray that Velcro prayer all the time. What's of God let stick, let all the rest fall to the ground. But the God stuff's got to stick. And it will stick. He'll bring it around. So the garbage. Do we let garbage hang around? One of the things I try to teach to particularly brand new couples, young people who get married, is somebody has to take out the garbage. Oh, we're just going to live off love. Oh, it's going to be so great. We can just wake up in the same bed together. You know, it's just a lovely thing that's going to happen. And there's nothing like the romance of stinking garbage in your house, right? Can I get a witness on that? I mean, stinking garbage comes in, romance goes out. It just doesn't work any other way. The aroma of that. It's that way in our lives. Let me ask you. New Year's coming. We're looking at each of these Sundays of Advent with a view to how's our life going to change? What if this Christmas and then looking to the New Year? What if you decided to just empty the garbage in your life? The lies you've come in agreement with, the junk you let hang around your life. And you know that's not building you up in the faith. It's not building your relationship with God. Why do you let it hang around? And why do you expose other people to it? Why not empty the garbage? Man, we need flowers. We need fresh stuff growing. We need hope. Why live in the past? Some of you, the garbage is the stuff of, well, you know, this happened to me years ago and this, and listen, yeah, you need to work through it, but with a view to the hope of the future that God's got a better plan for your life than what you could ever imagine. And I'm speaking to some of us that are old enough to know better. We've seen a few campaigns. We've seen a few wars, conflicts. Do you want to just stay the same? Or you want that childlike hope to come? Went and picked up Meg and the boys the other day. Came down to stay a few days. Got home the other afternoon. I heard Finley in the other room. Those of you who don't know, that's my oldest grandson. He'll turn 3 next month. Old Finley boy. And I did the whistle. Which is the way my daddy has called me. In generations, that's how we call each other. Walmart, Kmart, Toys R Us, Kroger, Playground. We know. Hey, that means it's time to come. I did that whistle, and I heard, Poppy! It wasn't. Oh, Poppy. Oh, Poppy. You know, kind of like Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, I'm getting reacquainted with all. Last night it was Poppy. What song you want to sing? Let's sing the Winnie the Pooh song. I made up lyrics. And thing is, he knows. Let's do it again, Poppy. It's like he's giving me another chance. That kind of hope. Man, when I heard his little boy, I was ready to go to the moon. That's what I'm talking about. That kind of hope. Third thing, you can start believing the prophets about what's coming next. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but we will in the new year. Jesus is coming. Whether you want him to come or not, just like in his first coming, he's coming again. Read the book. And we read the book, and so many of the passages that we talk about that the prophet spoke in the Old Testament, we tend to relegate many of them. Oh, that's just to the first coming. But many of them have a dual meaning. And some of them are just about the second coming. He's coming. Are you ready? Do you have anticipation? Can you say with John, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly? And I've done that before, while I was studying for a test that at the last minute that I wasn't prepared for. Oh, Jesus, if you could just come right now, then judgment wouldn't come to me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living in expectation every day. Let me ask you, would that stand out at your job? I'm not talking about you being an idiot in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about you wearing, you know, a John the Baptist outfit, you know, or sackcloth and ashes, or starting to, you know, carrying the raw honey and the skins, you know, and that kind of, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the inside of you being different. That will show. And let me tell you, some of the people that already see it very plainly are some of the little people in you, because they're not fooled by the garbage of the facade. Finally, number four, you could start looking forward. You could start looking forward with great anticipation. Do y'all know what a zero-sum game is? A zero-sum game means you've only got so much in the game. And it either belongs to this one or that one, but the sum is always the same. God does not operate in a zero-sum game. God operates in a blessing game. He wants to come and manifest His presence through our lives. He wants this Advent season to be the best ever, where the Son of God is revealed to the world. But you see, He doesn't, at midnight on the 25th, doesn't put a period there and stop the music. He wants it to continue right on into the new year with great, great joy. What could God do in us if we just start cooperating? Look at me. Me. Look in the mirror, Dusty. If we just start cooperating. Final story. We're out on the west side of Savannah, out in Port Wentworth, and we're playing at the old Lions Club softball diamond. Playing a tournament. Used to play a lot of softball. Played tournaments all over the southeast. We're playing in one of these tournaments, and we had a really, really good team. But we were having it handed to us. It was late in the game. Only seven innings we played. It was like bottom of the fifth. And we were down 12. We couldn't buy a hit. And I remember we had kind of like a little bench meeting there. We looked at each other, looked at the guys, and said, it's time to get busy. I've never seen this happen. Never seen it happen. 11, count them, 11 hits in a row. We ended up beating them 20-something to like 14. I thought about that story. I thought about that. And I look at my own life. Am I willing to accept what the past is predicting for my life? Draw a line through it. What is the past predicting for my life of where it's going to go, what it's going to be? Or am I willing to say, God, you can break out in me a fantastic thing. Historically, look at Abraham. All that stuff we read about, I mean, the stuff that gets us going in his life, it didn't start till he was an old man. Let's get a head start. I'm challenging. What if this Christmas hope could be restored? I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on with you. But I know that Jesus is bigger than any problem. His power is awesome. We'll open the altar. Pastor Rick, Pastor Dane will be here. You want to come to the altar and pray? Do business with the Lord? This is your time. Lord, I thank you that you are Lord over everything. You're Lord of our lives. And Lord, I'm thanking you that you're even Lord of those bad decisions we made years ago. And Lord, I know today you can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I know in my heart today, Lord, that your power is greater than any. And so we're asking you, come. Come. Bring hope. Restore our lives today. Thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, the altar's open. How many of you want God to restore hope in your life? All right. Let's pray right now. Lord, as we raise our hands in faith, I thank you that you hear and answer us. Whatever it is, Lord, I know you're Lord over it. Family, health, money, job, you're Lord. Come now, Lord. To each person who's indicated to you by either by raising their hand or just agreeing right now, Lord, you know our hearts. We're asking you, bring your hope. Lord, the prophets of old spoke clearly and plainly. They spoke it ahead of time, revealed it. Lord, we're speaking it out ahead of time right now and saying, Lord, we agree with you. Bring hope. Bring hope to families, husbands, wives, children, grandparents. Bring your hope today. Baskets are here and in the back. We'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring it at this time. All right, look this way. Part of a hope is joy. Thought I'd get a smile. But. All right, so I'm going to send you out today with some joy. And if you need some special joy, I'll record some jokes for you or stories you can go to sleep by at night or all of that. Or you can talk to Megan. Megan, hey, darling. So good to see you here. All right, I'm going to send you out. Lord, now, send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Love of Jesus, our Savior, the authority of God the Father. And Lord, let joy ring forth and show the true hope that is in our hearts. We love you, Jesus, and we bless you. God bless you.